requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, has been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Reba?
Here.
Council?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Hoyle?
Here.
Just so everyone's aware, we have an executive session tonight dealing with some personnel issues. We're going to do that early in the meeting, but we're waiting for our attorney to show up. So first off, we're going to do our minutes of the regular meeting of November 3rd.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on anything in the minutes? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
We have no correspondence. Since he's not here yet, we'll open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests or anything that is not on the agenda. Sure.
Penny Shaw, 20 School Street. As hopefully all of you knew, this weekend was my game day in town, and it was a success.
Good.
We had 35 people. I missed counting. I was just reminded. I do have photos, which you can pass around. Of how it went. Started at 10, and there was somebody there at 10 in the morning, and it went to technically 9:30 at night when I started cleaning the tables, and they all decided to help me clean up the tables.
Good.
Thank you. We had seniors there. We had kids, adults, and we also had disabled individuals there. So it was a wider range of people. And they loved it, and they're asking me when the next one is going to happen. I've actually been asked if I could do something during Christmas. So I'll see if I can find a place so that during the Christmas week, when everyone has a break, I have the week off from work, they close down the shop. So see if I can find a location where we can do a quick and dirty game day.
I assume the fire hall's not available.
I don't know yet. I haven't asked.
Okay.
I actually came tonight to finish cleaning up. But they had already mopped the floors for me, so I wasn't able to mop the floors for them. And I figure I will call them tomorrow and start asking if I can register a day for the kids and the adults. The seniors were asking me if this could become a more regular thing for them and if it could be done during the day. So I'm going to see if I found out that the churches do have lunches. Maybe the churches can conduct it. Where they do something for the seniors, so they have someone to play their rummy and one other game they told me that I can't remember the name of. Oh.
Okay.
But they really loved it, and they want more stuff for them. So I figured I would pass that information on to you, that the seniors really just want a place, staff stuff, that's it.
Okay.
They want a place where they can play, is basically what they want.
Okay.
But it was a success, and they're asking for more, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay. The library may be interested in holding something like that for seniors.
Okay.
As long as they don't get too rowdy, you know.
Well, the library did give me two boxes of games, so I do have them to return to them.
Okay.
Although she said if we're going to do this again, I can hold them on for her, hold them for her in my house.
Okay.
Until that time. So it was lots of fun.
Good.
Pretty good.
If you need any games to donate, you know, everybody might be able to have games lying around.
Yeah. Well, that's what was on the sign. It was on the sign that I had created. It said, you know, please bring your games to share. If you don't want to play, you can leave them there for people to share, which they did do.
Okay.
I also had a swap table, but nobody wanted to swap anything. I thought it would be great for Christmas because you could, you know, drop your kids' games that they don't want anymore and pick up other games, and you wouldn't have to pay for them. That was my thought. We'll save people some money on Christmas gifts.
I'll reach out to you, because I might have some old kids' games and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, that they're grown out of, so.
Yeah, I'll collect them and put them in the boxes. And I'll put your name on it, so if you ever want a bath, just holler at me and I'll give it back to you.
I don't think I want.
Okay. That's about it.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the audience portion? Okay, hearing none, I saw our attorney outside.
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? In that case, I would entertain a motion for Resolution 203-2010.
So move.
Personnel matters.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have to leave now. At least out in the hall, we should not be too long, I hope. Mr. Housel, I will turn the executive, the first part of the executive over to you.
I'm just saying.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The next portion of our meeting is the ordinances. We have Ordinance 14-2010 for public hearing and adoption. At this point, I'll open the public hearing on Ordinance 14-2010.
We need the motion to adopt.
Yes, first.
So move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Me.
At this point, I'll open the public hearing. Ordinance 14-2010, after the clerk reads my title only.
Ordinance 14-2010, an ordinance creating Article 12 entitled Maintenance on Certain Private Roads within Chapter 75 of the Code of the Borough of Washington.
Would anyone like to comment on this ordinance?
We close the public portion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion to approve? To adopt?
I'll make a motion. Second.
What's that?
Yeah.
Mayor, there's somebody in the audience that has a question, maybe?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that it did include a lot and lot of... Block 37, Lot 9, for access to
Hill
Court.
We have Block 37, Lot 8, for Cattell Court.
Cattell Court is one block and lot with the six homes. Are you referring to the North Jackson Avenue Road? The dirt road that butts up against Cattell Court?
No, yeah. We actually live on Cattell. Our address is 87 North Jackson. We have an egress off of Cattell.
And our only access to our home is off of Cattell. Our only easement to North Jackson is utility easement.
To get
37, Lot 9.
So to get to your house, you go around the back by the railroad tracks?
No, sir. We have to go on Cattell.
We have to go on Cattell.
You have an easement with the property owner on Cattell Court?
Correct.
that's something different altogether then, because this is maintaining the private roads. If they have an easement with another property owner, that's not in the scope of this. This is the borough maintaining privately owned roads. If one property owner has an easement...
Well, we're just making sure that is including Cattell Court.
Well, Cattell Court is...
The property owner doesn't come to us to say that we need to pay for private snow removal.
Well, Cattell Court is listed on this ordinance.
Okay.
Now, again, it's only at the discretion of the property owner. We still need written consent from the property owner for this. The property owner may say, no, I don't want to sign anything.
Okay.
So if you have an easement with that property owner, that's not this. That doesn't affect this at all. This would allow, with the property owner's consent, the borough to come in and plow the snow from Jackson Ave all the way around to right now where he has the tree.
Right.
Because that's where his property ends.
Right.
And then the railroad owns the rest of that property. So this would allow that if you will. That's it.
Okay. So we need to get in touch with...
Yeah, the property, if you have an easement with the property owner, you know, ingress, egress, what have you, that's
right.
Between you and the property owner.
Okay.
That's not this.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on that, please.
Alvo?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgin?
Abstain.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leoni?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to ordinance 15-2010 for introduction.
Move ordinance 15-2010 as the clerk read by title.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes. This is questions for the attorney.
Yes, Dave.
On page 3, section C.
Okay.
Number 2, yeah. It talks about the $500 per year to a Warren County Political Committee. So does that mean that anybody who donates to either the county Democratic or county Republican committee has to file that, even if they haven't donated to a candidate from the borough?
Correct.
Okay. Takes care of that. I do have another question. Page 4. Mm-hmm. The fair and open contracts, not exempt.
Right. In other words, the way this works is that if you bid it in accordance with the bid laws, okay, then you can be exempted from this. However, the municipality simply going out and taking proposals pursuant to the fair and open, that isn't adequate to get out of this particular ordinance.
Okay.
Else? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Alvo?
Yes.
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 Ordinance 15-2010, an ordinance restricting the award of contracts except the public bidding, contractor pay-to-play reform ordinance.
I'm sorry?
I was trying to
talk.
No. You got it.
Okay.
Publication date?
Okay. Public hearing of ordinance 15-2010 will be December 14th, 2010. Advertisement of the public hearing is started on November 24th, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call again, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leon?
Yes.
Reports.
Move we accept and file the reports.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports?
One question. On the CFO's expenditure report, no, I'm sorry, it would be the tax collector's revenue report.
Mm-hmm.
One we had in our package was dated October 14th.
Okay.
The one from the last report we had was dated October 14th.
She didn't change the date. The one before that, it was a month prior. Which means she just didn't change the date on it.
Does that need to be changed?
We can change the Well, you received and filed the reports last time.
Right.
Can they amend or receive and file the reports?
No, well, see, this one, the new one, would have to say November.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, if you accept it with that change, it's just a typo. If you accept it with that change, I can never make the change, that will be the official file copy.
I'll make that motion then.
Second.
We have two motions on the floor now, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Do we need a motion to actually do that?
You can just give direction.
Okay. So the direction will be to change the date. Okay, any other comments on the reports?
I'd just like to publicly thank the bid for their donation for the volunteer day for the paint and everything, the money that they gave.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do you have any committee reports?
Good chair. I have a sewer.
Okay.
Quite lengthy. Sorry. Patrick and I met with Andrew. Terry was wrapped up with something else, couldn't make it. But we talked about a number of things. The first thing that we talked about were the sewer rates for the senior citizens. Everybody got the Andrew's report, right?
Mm-hmm.
That what he talked about. We talked about the wastewater management plan. We talked about Quick Check in Washington Township. We talked about our permit. Right now we have a temporary permit, and he expects us to have a completed permit by the end of November. He did sewer use flow verification. We asked him a while ago to go check the high school with the new addition, the junior high, the Dyfus building, and what else did we ask him for? Warren Plaza, the Port Colton Mall. He said that everything that we're billing them for now is quite adequate. They actually physically went out and checked. He did talk about the Pleasant
Valley.
Yeah. Road dam. The paperwork is in, and what they're asking for is initially he's asking to have for the DEP to allow us to knock down the dam. So they submitted all that paperwork, and if they can't, they're going to make a determination. If not, then he needs to go ahead with phase three, I believe it was, he said, where we need to take care of it. He has no clue. I shouldn't say that. He doesn't know how they're going to respond to what they submitted. But, you know, the elevation, he's talking about a 5-foot difference in elevation. Patrick and I said it was a good idea, so the DEP will probably say we have to keep it down. Right?
Right.
Okay. There are some things we talked about, the sewer rates for the senior citizens. There's some things that we need, some things before we can go any further with that, and that's spelled out here in what Andrew had talked about. Anybody have any questions?
Well, what we're looking at on that, it's just for research, just looking at the numbers, crunching numbers for a senior discount program, how we can identify the amount of seniors here through the tax office, you know, look at the surplus. What if we can do anything to reduce the amount a senior citizen pays for their EDUs. You have to own a home and live in the borough. We need to find out what other town is doing the same thing with the reduction so we can research that town.
Yeah, well, Greenwich was...
Greenwich?
Yeah, Greenwich. I don't know if they actually... I can call the councilwoman.
Okay.
I don't know if they actually passed the whole thing.
Right. Going to take a look at it 5 years out to see what the reduced rate does to the surplus, things of that nature. It's just research to find out if we can offer something back to the seniors with the sewer rating bill. That's all it is.
Okay.
Yes.
How many homes would this affect? Do you have any of that information?
See, that's the information that what we decided there was people come in for the senior discount on their property tax,
mm-hmm.
That's how we would monitor it. you'd have to be a homeowner, you'd have to be living in the borough, and that's how it would be.
Do you have a ballpark, how many people that...
We don't, at this time.
Because, I mean, you can get that from last year's numbers, right?
Right.
I mean, because I'd be curious just to see, I can't imagine it's that many.
No, and that's what we said.
Right, so I mean...
Less than 100, probably.
Yeah, so I'd be curious to see the number, because, you know, how it would shake out.
Okay.
That's information that we talked about that we need to get.
Right.
Dave, just one little thing. Your proposal is to do it simply based on status as a senior citizen, not income?
Right.
I don't think you can do that. I think that, and I unfortunately bring my book in, but under 4826, I think it is, there's a provision in the statute that you can give seniors and other parties who meet certain income guidelines a break on sewer, but it's limited to that category of people, not all seniors. In other words, it could be seniors, but they have to meet federal income guidelines that are qualified, if I can generically say, based on welfare.
That's why it's in the preliminary stages.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up, because I don't want you guys to go down, you folks to go down a road, you know, too far before...
So it has to, yeah.
Well, the manager sent that to us.
Oh, okay, good, good. Yeah, he did, because we had discussed that issue.
Thank you.
Mrs. Dutler, you have something?
Yeah, the thing about X amount of dollars and a senior, isn't that the same criteria now to get a senior discount on your taxes?
I don't know that.
What are you shaking your head? No, I tried one time, and I had too much money.
Well, that doesn't sound bad.
Well, they consider other income other than what you end up putting for the state or for the federal.
Yeah, I can't honestly answer that right now, because I'm not 100% sure what allows a senior citizen to get a reduced rate. You may be 100% right, but I know for sure there's a clear statute that says it has to be based on income, not simply age.
Anything else from sewer?
If any other committee reports?
I do, Mayor. November 5th, Rich Phelan, myself, met with a representative from the Township of Washington construction officer. They went over their program. It's very interesting. It's definitely something we need to look forward to. It's an opportunity for the borough to improve the service over what the state is doing now for people that like to get permits to build. So that's it's been positive. I don't want to say too much because there's numbers here. So we did the first stages. We met with the Mr. Joe Rossi. It was a very good meeting, productive meeting. It's very strong for the borough side. That's all I can really say.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
Well, the grant committee, we know we're still pursuing possibly two grants, and the manager sent the information to the DCA for their approval before we can actually fill out the application. We need to get that approval.
Anything else? Okay, we'll move on. How about if we go into new business and get our resolutions out of the way? Yeah, we're going to be pulling resolutions 202-2010 and 208-2010. We won't need to do those. First up, we have an ABC approval for a catering permit for the Mediterranean Bistro.
Second.
Everything is in order?
It is.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We do the two raffle licenses together for any reason we can?
208, 210.
So move.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The raffles are for the Washington, both are for the Washington Women's Club, one of the date of February 9th, 2011, the other one December 8th, 2011. Is that 2011 correct, or is that supposed to be 2010?
That's a typo, 2010.
Okay. Okay, and everything is in order?
Correct.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have two appointments to the Washington Fire Department. Mr. Higgins, could you help me out with the first person's last name? That's all I want. No? Okay.
Chizowski.
Chizowski?
I'll do my best.
Chizowski is the police.
Chizowski and Robert Miller.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
Next, we have Resolution 198-2010, a request for legislators to enact stronger legislation on cyberbullying, taunting, and internet harassment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? How about we do 199-2001? No. Sorry? 201. 201 together.
I'll move 199-2010 through 201-2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of these?
I do, Mayor.
Mr. Boyle.
I would like to speak to Resolution 2001, if I may.
201.
Or 201?
I do it and it becomes habit forming, I guess.
Just really for clarification and curiosity, this particular resolution is about cancellation of capital bond ordinances. Is this the same language that we got from the CFO's report for the corrective action plan?
Yes.
Okay. In the corrective action plan, comment 3 referenced capital, general capital fund. It gave an explanation of the corrective action. It goes down where it says implementation date, and then it says it's been implemented. But we're passing a resolution today to implement that corrective action?
No. I responded to your email.
I didn't see the second part. No. I had to go.
The way the state refers to implemented, meaning you are in the process or you have begun the process of implementing the corrective action. Once it's completed, it's been completed. This has been going on for several months.
Oh, granted, I'm sure I'm not worried about the work being done. It's just a report. That's why I didn't vote for this report, because there's things on here that, the way I read it, has already been done, and I knew that wasn't the case.
The way the state deems the phrase implemented in the finance laws is you're in the process of or have completed. You can use implemented. When you're 100% done, it's deemed completed, and that's when the state is done.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay, anything else? Have a roll call, please.
Siani?
Yes.
Alvin?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
And now let's do 204, 205, 206, and 207.
So move.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of those? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Siani?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Alvin?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on to old business. Garbage collection. What do we have for that, Mr. Fallon?
This was actually, if I remember correctly, requested to be placed on the agenda by Council for further discussion on what actions Council should take for 2011 and beyond relating to garbage. Council was presented with a memo for me on November 8th. I know we spoke to garbage at quite lengths this year. I guess the question is, what, if any, actions does Council want to take for 2011 and beyond?
Are you talking shared service, or are you talking just everything in general, as far as, because...
Well, we're still continuing the shared services, absolutely. I mean, yeah. In fact, I received the contact information from Councilman Boyle today. We'll be reaching out to Hampton to set up a meeting.
Well, is it the kind of thing where we can choose to do both, or
This is a council decision. I mean, you can do whatever you choose.
Yeah, but can you do both?
Yes.
I thought it was one or the other.
Well, Oh, wait, you mean can you, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you meant can I research both?
No, I mean, I know we're going to be meeting again one more time with Hampton. I don't think tonight we can actually make a final decision because of that pending meeting with Hampton.
It's a lot of time and preparation to move forward with the items addressed in my November 8th help line to then go to shared services.
Right, so I guess at this point then, if we're having that meeting with Hampton, then we really can't make a decision.
If council doesn't even want to entertain this, tell me now, I won't waste any more time.
Well, I personally would like to entertain this and this option, but I, again, don't have all the information as a result of the shared service.
Could we just...
Because this is, I'm sorry, because this is bringing in, showing it as revenue.
Sure.
Would this be more beneficial than the shared service in the long run?
Compare apples to apples. Say shared services, I mean, take disposal fees out of the equation because you have to pay for that regardless. If you go to a shared services agreement, what you're in essence is paying for the cost of the service because you're paying for disposal, period. Depending on what the cost for that service is will dictate my answer. I can't say with any certainty, and Patrick may be able to elaborate, I don't know what preliminary numbers, if any, they even spoke about. What you see before you is if council decides to keep everything as is, what this will allow us to do is right now in our budget, we have in a total expenditure of $442,000 for garbage paid for through tax dollars. What we can do is if you have a corresponding item of revenue that's dedicated to an expenditure, meaning if I have money coming in solely for garbage and I'm billing out solely for garbage, it's revenue with an offsetting revenue, I don't have to, that reduces the amount to be raised by taxation. Now, the biggest misconception, and I was very clear when I said this, is that that's a savings.
It's not a savings.
No. I just want to make sure everyone understands. Yeah. Like I said in my example, If your property tax, the local portion of your property taxes, if it's $2,000 for your local portion, not the schools and county, and of that $2,000, $250 pays for your garbage collection based on assessments, which it is now, you pull the $250 out, your taxes get reduced by $250, but then you receive a separate bill from us for the $250. So now dedicated to garbage. So you receive a $250 bill for garbage. I have revenue coming in that's going out directly for garbage. Since there's an offsetting revenue, that reduces the amount to be raised by taxation and helps us get closer to the 2% cap.
Well, that's really what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's really just helping us get closer to the 2%
yes.
cap, which right now we're way over.
Correct.
So we have to do a lot to get to that 2% cap, so this is a big help to us. It's no savings to the individual because they're still paying that $250, but it's separated out. So that it's
correct.
Would this also impact the reserve for uncollected taxes? Would that number go down?
Yes. When you have to reduce the amount you raise, it's tied into the reserve for uncollected taxes. So, yes, it would have a reduction.
One of the drawbacks of that would be if you billed separately and not through your taxes, it would no longer be a tax write-off for property owners, correct?
Well, we went around and around on that for a long time.
I mean,
it doesn't amount to much.
I talked to a separate CPA about that same exact question, and his answer was basically it only happens if you itemize that you can get the deduction, and if you do itemize, the probability that you're going to reap anything more than the cost of a pizza would be a lot. So it's almost a non-factor to talk about.
I mean,
do you think though? Would there be an issue with the billing and the collectible, would it be?
Oh, you mean in the tax office?
Yes.
It's an education process for everyone because it's very difficult to understand how, if my taxes are getting dropped, why am I being billed for the difference? It's an educational process that if you choose to go this route, we should make as much information as public as possible, including, for lack of a phrase, an educational session here at a council meeting with the auditor and possibly CFO. I mean, the only advantage of doing that way is it helps us get closer to our 2% cap next year. We will not be able to do that otherwise.
How long do you think it would take to implement this?
Well, remember, we do have the 6-month notification clause to the current contract.
Shared
service. Excuse me, I apologize. Best case scenario, Because remember, we need to bill for it, we need to modify Edmunds, I need to come up with a mechanism in the finance system, so when fees come in for that, they're applied directly towards that expenditure, July 1st. We would only reap 50% of the benefit next year.
And if we did the shared service, it would be about the same time, right?
That would be negotiable, but because there's 6 months, I'd say to play it safe, July 1st would be the earliest, any, whether it's shared services or this method would be beneficial.
July 1st?
Yeah.
Take that long?
If you go shared services, yes, because obviously you have 6 months. I'm giving worst case scenario. I mean, I'd have to, my CFO agrees with this in concept, but until we knew one way or another, we didn't want to spend effort with Edmunds to find out what's feasible, what's not feasible for it. Because there's going to be some tweaks to the finance system, so we can keep track of it separately.
If I bet, everything would totally be in-house, we wouldn't be,
Yes, no additional expenses, it would all be in-house with existing staff.
The question I have is, do we have choice? Because, I mean, really, well, and the reason I say that is because if we're faced with a hard 2% cap next year, and we're way over right now, and we don't have a lot left that we could maneuver and play around with, then it's kind of like, do we have a choice?
No, in that aspect, we don't have a choice. The choice is, do you want to pursue a shared service?
Well, I think that's parallel, though.
Well, I think there's something else that enters into this, is, you know, with the referendum, and I don't know that we have answers from the state yet as to, are they going to take that referendum on keeping the garbage in and allow us to take that money outside, out of the cap? Correct?
That's true. I mean, I have the only way 100% we can pull it is through this method. The state necessarily won't give us a, for lack of a phrase, a waiver based on a non-binding referendum. I haven't received official notification, but I did ask them about that, and I'm waiting for a response from the Director of Local Government Services.
But the unofficial response is, I don't think so.
Because it was non-binding, yeah, the unofficial, but I want something in writing for that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, what would you like to do?
I think we should go with the manager's suggestion.
Do we have to do it right now?
Well, I think we should at least get a straw poll at least to see if he wants to start, because he's got a fair amount of research he's got to start doing to see what, how much it's going to cost and how much time it's going to take.
It's going to take staff. It's going to cost a small amount of money if any modifications need to be made towards the finance system. There's postage for mailing the bills. If we can't piggyback it on an existing,
could you just include it in a sort?
There's printing, which we still have to print the bills, but it'd be like sort, where it's the four tabs now, so you're only doing one mailing.
Right.
And if I mail at the same time with staggered dates, the way we did with the sewer, I mean, all reality is just printing. The unknown is what has to be done to the finance system to keep track of it.
I have a question. You're talking about taking the garbage out of the taxes, so it's not included with the tax bill. And then submitting a bill to the people, just like the sewer bill.
Correct.
A user. What's to prevent somebody from saying, if we do it that way, I don't want your service because I can get it cheaper?
When you mail a tax bill, a municipal bill, it's subject to interest and liens. It's no different than any other bill.
But I'm not using your service.
It's a borough-provided service. The only way that's not applicable is if this body says we're privatizing garbage.
So it's like not paying your sewer bill.
It's not, exactly.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You don't have a choice. If this council decides to continue to provide taxpayer-funded garbage, taxpayers are paying for taxpayer-funded garbage whether they use it or not.
Right.
I understand what you're saying, but I think the question was to keep it in the tax bill, not to take it out of the tax bill.
The same
and
applies.
And bill is separately.
The same applies. It's a municipal bill being sent to residents.
Wow. That's kind of wow.
Well, there's two options. I mean, you can either do this, or you can, well, actually three, I should say. You can do this, you can privatize, or you can share a service agreement. Those are the only options.
I think we need more information.
Well, the only information on this would be the cost of staff and expenses to implement. That's the only cost associated with it.
And that would be mostly a one-time cost?
Yes.
Mostly.
Mr. Detlef, you had something?
Yeah. Unlike what happened or has happened with the sewer, where somebody was supposed to be watching it all the time and they did not, like to know if you do go this route, that put in it is that it be evaluated every year?
Well, if I can answer that, and maybe I can answer this, but I mean, we have a contract with the provider, Blue Diamond, right, for $400,000. So whenever we, when that contract is up, when we go out again, it's going to be based on whatever we award.
But the people would like to know that ahead of time, because for one, if you budget your own.
Oh, they would have to, yes, we would have to. I mean, essentially, in that, well, we would definitely, I'm sure council, whoever that is, would do their best to make sure that that's information available. But the difference is, in the past, whenever that contract was awarded, you were paying it out of your taxes regardless.
Yeah, I realize.
So whether it was.
And that's not what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that somebody watches the sewer, unlike what has happened with the sewer bill.
Well, the sewer bill's a little bit different, because the sewer bill was, that was basically told to us that we had to raise it every 2 or 3 years, which we never did.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. But this is a contract that's a fixed contract for a 5-year period. So that's a little bit different. Now, the next time a 5-year contract is up, it might be $350,000, because, you know, times are bad and people want the business. So you might actually have a reduction. So that's the difference.
And that's fine, but
yeah.
Somebody look at it.
Yeah, rates could change depending on tipping fees and various things like that. You know, tonnage.
State mandates.
That type of thing. Yeah, state mandates.
If they close Oxford, you know, it could be a big problem.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what's the pleasure? You want to authorize the manager to look into, do more research on this?
Yeah, I'd be curious what the Edmonds updates would cost. And if that would be part of their service level agreements with us.
When is the meeting with Hampton?
I have to call them. I have to call them to set something up.
It's tough to get a hold of. Funny, I just stopped out to the borough hall down there. And
Well, Mrs. Levy, you wanted to go forward with it, with the investigation in that? Mr. Higgins, no?
No.
Mr. Boyle?
I'm not real confident on that. I'm going to say no.
Okay. Mr. Valentine?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we have a choice.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should still do the two-prong approach, though. Still meet with Hampton.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, but what was that?
That was a given.
Yeah. I was just looking for the investigation.
Yeah,
the
investigation.
Okay, so you're authorized to continue on.
Now, I do have one other question. If that was a binding referendum, would they take it out of the taxes?
Don't know. I didn't ask them that, because it wasn't.
Remember, we didn't do it as a binding referendum.
I understand that, because
that
I think what Dick said is we'd have to change the ordinance and live with it for 3 years.
Now,
so if that was a binding referendum, it would have stayed in the tax bill.
Just to be clear, there's no provision in the current 2% hard cap for next year, binding or not binding, that would have allowed an exemption from this. I've asked them, can we get an exemption? There's no guarantee that we could get an exemption even if this was binding. That 2% hard cap next year is that, 2%, period. That is it. There's no cap waivers, there's no exemptions aside from the 4 that they've agreed to. That's it.
We really need to find ways to...
The reality of it is...
So what?
You got $650,000.
You're approximately $650,000 over next year's 2% cap.
Exactly.
How does that happen?
We were $400,000 over the 4% cap this year.
Okay.
Now that's $400,000 plus that 2%.
Right. That's the same every year.
I mean, we're 650.
But the payments are going up.
Right.
You know.
So this is a way to help move that cap.
Yeah, that's why I said we almost don't have a choice.
I could... Obviously, the final decision remains with council.
And they're still getting their garbage service. We're not doing garbage.
Well, and even if you do those shared services, you're still going to have to do it to reduce.
Well, the money will still have to be raised. It
right.
just gets shifted outside the budget cap.
If we could do the shared services, it would still be kept in the tax rate.
Yes.
It would be separate. We could mail Hampton a check.
Right.
Yes. But it's still being raised in your property.
Exactly.
Either way, whether a shared service agreement or the option presented to you, it has to get raised in taxes. It's just a question of, is it getting raised in your property taxes or are you being billed separately? It's
and
getting paid.
Having someone else provide the service. Can't
the only other option is if you privatize it and then it gets pulled, period. Those are the only options.
And the worst part is we don't know everything that we need to know about this.
Right.
I mean, Mr. Phelan has been in contact with people from the local government services. I've written emails to our representative for the governor's office about it, which I haven't heard back from him yet. You know, just trying to get a little clarification and guidance so we know what we're doing going forward.
Is that DCA Local Finance Board that you're waiting for?
No, Division of Local Government Services.
Which is under DCA.
Which is under. The reality of it is based on my conversations with Trenton and my counterparts, do not expect anything next year for Trenton. I mean, 2%, period. I cannot stress that enough. Base your budget action between now and budget adoption next year on 2%.
Could you, when you research further, if you could find out, like approximately how much it would reduce the reserve for uncollected taxes?
Sure. I might not be getting, I can get you an approximate,
yeah, an approximate.
But that's fine.
And then I guess we'll need to firm up the numbers that we'd be saving from Hampton. Are those numbers still valid that you gave us?
When I talked to Hampton in May, those were the numbers that, because they knew this was on the ballot.
Uh-huh. It was about 150,000.
172. Reduced. But yeah, we have to get with them.
We almost need to see which one, because if it's a shared service, it would also be taken out of this.
It would be taken out of the budget, correct. But it goes in your property tax bill versus
right.
This, correct. Now, if I recall correctly, that excluded the tipping, that number, correct? The one, I don't remember, it's been a while since.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, tipping is what it is, you have to pay for what you actually dispose of. This year we budgeted $172,000 and we expect to spend every dollar of it. So.
Are we done with garbage? Anything else? Okay, that moves us on to the borough pool. Mr. Feldman, you had asked to speak about this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Mayor, Council. I've been asked as the chairperson of the Recreation Committee to address you this evening about the park, the pool, and more importantly, recreation. This is more than just a philosophical discussion of what is government going to do for its citizens. Any discussion of the pool should be included in the more holistic discussion about the future of recreation in Washington. What value do we as a community place on recreation? What is its value to both young and old? What is its value to the quality of life in our community? What is the value it adds to our property and our town? What price do you put on the development of our young or the dignity that our seniors deserve? And what value does the nourishment that flows into the vessel of our community from the park, the pool, and all our programs have? The costs to our community are really quite small in comparison to the other costs that we are burdened with. Our recent tax bill indicates that for $100 of assessed value, we all will be charged for county tax about 78 cents, for county open space about 10 cents, for district schools about $1.08, for regional schools about $1.12, and for our local municipality about $1.42, roughly about $4.50. Based on the budget document submitted to the state, the borough is allocating almost $200,000 for non-fee-based activities. This equates to approximately 3.5% of the municipal rate and approximately 1.11% of the total tax levy. Is this such a great amount? A house assessed at $100,000 pays less than 67 cents a week, or less than a dime a day. A dime a day for recreation. What a bargain. We live in a time and a place with many high-risk kids. Recreation programs are an important part of the equation of keeping them out of trouble. When everyone in a society does not feel that it is their duty to make sure that the most vulnerable in that society are protected, we do not have a civilized society anymore. One may ask, why should my taxes go to recreation? We all pay taxes for schools even though we do not use them, because it is for the good of society that we offer a public education to our children. Are we going to practice social Darwinism, where there is only survival of the fittest? Only those that pay will have, or only those that beg will get? We are a community. It is time to stop tearing at the fabric. Over the last 3 years, based on a paucity of information, we can conclude that costs have gone up, participation has gone down, and revenues have gone down as well. Expenditures to enhance and maintain have been eliminated as we try only to survive. When the Recreation Commission was disbanded 3 years ago, there was a surplus in the trust fund. Where did it go? There was a surplus in the pool project. Where did it go? The money that was to be spent on the concession stand upgrade and slide upgrade have disappeared. The borough was responsible for this project. What happened to the money? The new deck has several huge cracks which have not been repaired, and those that have been repaired were done inadequately. Why? When the commission was abolished, the borough was required to set up separate line items for each activity. Was this done? And if not, why? Has the borough been intermingling money from different programs? According to Ms. Tina Zappici, Bureau Chief in the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs, Division of Local Government Service, quote, you are not to intermingle different program fees. Each program must be self-sustaining, end quote. This eliminates the ability of the municipality to move money to cover shortfalls in activities. As borough management relates to the pool, in May, Council was presented with a diverse program aimed at reducing expenses and increasing revenues. The Recreation Department did not execute this plan, and thusly, you fell very short of success. Since you are now running the borough as a business, everyone should understand that if you did not follow your business plan, you will fail. You dropped the ball. You can sit there and blame the volunteers. However, the statute this body passed put all the responsibility for running recreation in the hands of the department. It rests solely with the borough, and the borough is the sole authority. So do not be looking for scapegoats. Council arbitrarily canceled program funding, less than $5,000 in total, or 1/7 of a penny of the municipal tax levy, and wiped out the activities that benefit the most citizens in our community. How short-sighted. Council delayed and delayed and delayed on making a decision about the pool last year. And then when the council did open, and then when the pool did open, it was late. And the benefit of a pool membership cost more than it did the year before. The public figured it out. The borough actually raised the price to join the pool. The borough was presented with a plan, and management did not even execute on 20% of it. The plan council all thought was so great was actually contrary to state statute, but nobody bothered to check. According to the very weak financial data we received, pool-related net income was down substantially from 2009 to 2010. In addition, all of your fee-based activities declined as well. All in all, recreation has been in a decline since 2008, or since the borough assumed responsibility for it. We believe there is a way to save recreation and the pool for the citizens of Washington. It is apparent that the council has little if no interest in being involved, evidenced by the fact that you have no recreation director, as your statute requires. Your acting recreation director refuses to attend meetings, as the statute requires. And the only time recreation is mentioned at council meetings is to cut expenses or set higher fees. When you wanted to build a recently completed parking lot, you had the bid do it because they had the ability and latitude under the law to do it cheaper. A recreation commission under the Faulkner Act can use money from one activity to help another. The borough is prohibited from doing this, per Ms. Zappici. If we do not change what the council and borough management is doing, then we are fearful that the individual sports fees will go prohibitively high or sports will be dropped because they no longer can be self-funded at a reasonable cost. According to Ms. Patricia Swartz, Administrator, New Jersey Office of Recreation and Office of Community Action, the borough can, via resolution, reestablish the Recreation Commission immediately. There is no waiting period or review of finances, and we were led to believe by moral management. We can all agree that nothing is perfect. However, over the last 2 years, you have budgeted over $400,000 for recreation and have little if nothing to show for it. They did, however, use funds, or I should say you did, however, use funds from recreation to pay for police overtime. In 2006 and 2007, the borough contribution to the Recreation Commission was approximately $82,500 per year. With that money, our fee revenue, and the trust fund balance, we were able to deliver more services than the borough did for a cheaper price. We had a safer pool with more certified swim instructors, with more participation activities, with better and more accurate financial data to make decisions. Put your personal animosities aside and let's do what's right for the citizens of Washington. Reestablish the Recreation Commission with all its responsibility and authority and let us get back to making recreation something that we can all utilize and be proud of. As a committee, we have been forced to defer action on the 2011 recreation fees, a draft maintenance plan, a draft capital improvement plan, program enhancements, etc., because we lack specific and detailed information from the borough. As a recreation commission, we would have had this information already and started on it. There is no rush to make a decision on the pool, certainly without the financial detail that real businesses regularly require to make decisions. However, time is running out on the value of recreation to the citizens of Washington. Are we only going to take care of ourselves and not worry about anyone else? There is a fundamental question that needs to be answered. Are we on our own, or are we in it together? I, as my fellow committee members and members of the public, would like to believe that the council values the rich program history that Washington Recreation has promulgated over the years. I ask you, what further information do you need to return recreation back to the citizens and reestablish the Recreation Commission? Questions?
Who is Mr. Peachy?
As I said, Ms. Cepici is the Bureau Chief of the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs, Division of Local Government Service.
She's the Bureau Chief of
Division of Government Services.
New Jersey Department of Community Affairs, DCA, Division of Local Government Service.
Mr. McDonald, I'd just like to say one thing. Under the Rec Commission, the pool has always lost money. And the pool has always lost money for as long as I can remember. It's never been a self-sustaining program.
They even did a feasibility study, right?
Yes.
Do you remember how much that feasibility study cost?
About $23,000, $25,000. If I may. The issue with that is, yes, the pool always lost money, but recreation was always a combined activity, all activities. So the other activities could hopefully make up for some of the money that the pool was losing. Such recreation never lost money any year and was always in the black.
You're forgetting the pool. The pool.
No, I'm including the pool.
Yeah, let's not go into a debate in between Mr. Feldman and the rest of the council. Now we have... Mr. Kelly, do you have anything that you need to say about our discussion for the borough pool?
The only request, if you will, that I had is, does council have a concept, I guess for lack of a phrase, of what they want to do next year? And I said it not more than 10 minutes ago, $1 or $50,000 lost is irrelevant. We're stuck with 2% cap next year, plain and simple. Right, and
if we're over the 2% cap, it goes out to the voters and they...
No, that's not correct. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I didn't want you to finish that because I didn't want the misinformation. We cannot exceed 2%, period. If we need to exceed 2%, the borough, at dates that have yet to be determined by the state, have to hold a special election at a cost of $10,000 to ask the voters to exceed the cap. If it says no, the budget needs to be reduced. Plain and simple. There's no wiggle room anymore in local government. That is it.
Mr. Boyle.
The last meeting we had, I think Mr. Feldman had asked a question about going back to a commission. Would that take it out of the 2% budgetary constraints? Was that kind of what you had asked?
Yes.
Did we find that answer out?
Recreation Commission would.
It would do that.
Because of recreation, by definition of the statutes, is semi-autonomous. They have the authority to raise. They're solely fee-based. That's it.
Okay. So
yes.
Why would that not be a topic of discussion? Is bring it back to a commission?
That's not what, I mean, that's council position.
I know.
I mean,
I'm talking to council.
So could someone tell me the pros and cons of a commission versus a committee? Because I
heard,
wasn't here for it.
You heard Mr. Feldman's letter or his statement. He had a lot of pros and cons and right there.
Right? He didn't have any pros for a committee. So
well, it's like, you know what it is? It's basically semantics to some extent. Because basically, if you have good people running a commission, it'll be fantastic. If you have bad people running a commission, it'll be a disaster. Same thing with a committee. And what we've seen is a disaster in both the commission and the committee.
Well, I beg to differ.
Well, I mean, you could beg to differ, but I mean, that's just
how
the reality.
How can you sit there and say
in?
That the reality is that you had bad people running it for $82,000 for 3 years is what, $240,000, and we spent $400,000 over 2 years?
We have, first of all, we have a lot more programs than we had then.
No, we
second
don't.
Of all, the pool always lost money.
It doesn't matter about
if
the
I can butt in here, I think we're... the discussion really shouldn't be the committee versus the commission.
Well, where discussion is because of the 2% cap, the budget.
Taken out of the 2% cap.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's what we're based on.
All right, let's rephrase that. We should take it away from, you know, what would the, the success of the committee versus the commission.
If it's a cap issue, then if it's a cap discussion about, you know, we can take it out of the cap if it's committee, commission, then that's a relevant discussion that we should have.
Right.
But, you know, forget about, you know, the letter or our own personal whatevers about what has happened in the past. You know, we really need to look at it strictly from a perspective of, if we make it a commission again, does that help us with the 2%? And the answer is yes. So that's really all it should be talked about.
Where are we with the 501(c)(3)?
Nowhere. Nowhere.
And that last May was going to be a undertaken, and it was going to help raise funds for the pool?
Last I heard about that, sorry.
No.
Mr. Jaworski, you have information on that?
Yes.
Last I heard, you were with a lawyer and getting ready to submit paperwork.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And then, so the concept of the not-profit organization was developed in a meeting with the borough manager, who put forward the idea that the borough could not, the committee or commission or the council could not solicit donations for the purpose of the borough's own use, and that a company or an individual who wanted to donate money could not do so under the same, you know, tax write-off laws that would to a 501(c)(3). So we kind of moved forward on that. If you look back on my notes, the council, which I provided Christine copies of, and in no meeting did I ever say that the 501(c)(3), nor did Victor ever say that the 501(c)(3) would be used to offset borough expenses. The mission statement clearly said that it would be used to enhance recreational programs, properties, etc. Okay. I had a meeting with an accountant who made it very clear that the mission of the 501(c)(3) is to be met through council's own activities, committee's own activities, commission's own activities, because the borough can solicit donations to their own purposes. They can receive money in that same way. And so, and it would be expensive to run a 501(c)(3), expenses beyond, you know, just receiving money in and, you know, keeping a book. So, Victor and I have not had a one-on-one meeting since that meeting. I would say that we probably together were kind of heading that up throughout the summer. But the point is that the borough can do this themselves. They can raise this money. So now I'm not sure whether borough manager was correct or whether this accountant was correct, but the point is that I'm not sure that I'm getting a, you know, completely straight story either way. So that's where it lies right here. It is not out of the question to develop a 501(c)(3), but I'm not sure that that should fall on the shoulders of a handful of individuals, with Victor, myself, and about six other people. I'm not sure that that the borough's expenses should fall on the activities of a handful of people who were hoping to, you know, promote an expanded recreation program, right, to enhance what the borough would do. There was never
okay for the pool, for donation. All right? And if
you'd like, you can look through any notes, any email that I've ever sent. I don't think anybody said that. Yeah. No, well, actually, I read some minutes from June that sort of Rich had gotten a different understanding in a meeting, so I just wanted, and that was expressed in the council meeting that I wasn't at, so I just wanted to.
Well, maybe I can clarify a little bit of that. You know, if we did this 501(c)(3) and we were able to get donations from local contractors to do work in the park, that would be work that the borough wouldn't have to do and expend finances on. If we were to get vendors to donate pool chairs or something like that, that would be an expense that the borough wouldn't have to incur. So sort of by our own workings, getting those donations and those, you know, supplements, that would be funds that the borough wouldn't have to expend out of taxpayer money.
Exactly.
So it's somewhat, you know.
There is one advantage, and I'm still trying to figure out whether that is, whether it's accurate or not. And frankly, I don't know how to find out if it's accurate. And that is, Richard put forth the idea of, I don't remember how you expressed it. It's not vendor management, but it's the commissions on the property and Green Acres property. Concessions on the Green Acres property, which currently have to last a field bid, is that correct? And by having a single organization manage those concessions, we can have more control over the types of concessions that we can offer in a park. So that still, I don't know how that would offset the expense of setting up and maintaining a 501c3.
I think the discussion was with the 501c3. I think that I truly believe that Rich said that we could take donations, that we could get paid. The only thing, if somebody donated to us, they couldn't write it off as a...
They can. Yeah, Ed Fleedoff is the one that gave me that answer, actually. They can.
I guess, can you get confirmation from the state that the borough can source the donations or considered a write-off? This way, just to clarify for everyone. Because you're getting different stories.
Right. It's not a dead idea, and it's not, you know, please appreciate, as you do, I mean, once you work full-time, and this is not my full-time job. I work, you know, quite a few hours a week.
No, I'm just curious, just thinking, purely as another way of, you know, receiving revenues and, you know, money. That's nothing to do with the 501c3 at all. I'd be curious to know.
Through grant activities, through, you know, donation solicitation. I mean, it's not a dead idea, but there are other options that the borough can do. And what I fear is that the council will rest on this hope that the 501c3 will be
I don't think any
of us.
But I have a question. If a contractor does work at the borough, in-kind work, where they supply the labor and they have some scrap wood or whatever, they can write that off through their business as a donation.
They should be able to.
Just like Sherwin-Williams donating
things. The problem is getting those people to do it. That's the tricky part.
I mean, would that go for any contractor?
I don't know, I guess. I mean, a private contractor. I reached out to a contractor to resurface the pump house roof. He gave me an estimate, but he said he couldn't absorb that himself. So, I mean, it's within realistic expectations, I think, you can do that. You know, donate a couple of boards for the grandstands from a lumber yard, that's one thing, but, you know, $2,000 worth of shingles and roofing and labor. That's another.
I have another question though with that. But if all right, if we bought the supplies for the stuff that needed to be done, and had a contractor donate their time to actually do the work, they can still count that as a donation of their time, their service, correct? And that would save us the installation costs. Can we do that under the public, whatever, you know, that law that you always talk about?
The local public contract law?
Yeah, there you go.
It's no different than someone volunteering their time. As long as it doesn't say on the building, roof installed for free by ABC contractors, you know, if they do the work, if we buy the materials and do the work, that's fine.
It's no difference.
Oh, excuse me, we buy the material and someone volunteers.
Well, it's no difference in reverse what we did at the park when we painted. They donated the materials, we donated the labor.
When you're on Green Acres encumbered property, you can't advertise like that without going to seal the bid. So you couldn't even say, roof installed at no charge by so-and-so. That you couldn't do.
We had water donated by
New Jersey American Water is the only water company in the area, so you're permitted to do that. It's regulated by the BPU.
So
There's no competition, exactly.
Right, so, okay. But I'm sure that there are, so my point was not to distract from the conversation that you're having about council versus, I mean, the community versus commission. But I need to answer the question of Title I.
I have a question to go back to for Title I. When you were talking about expenses of running with Title I, what expenses are they, and do you have any idea how much they are and who pays with the...
The startup's about, the startup's minimal, it's about $1,200, but there are, depending on how much money you receive in terms of donations, you could be subject to an annual audit that could be quite hefty.
And who pays that?
Like upwards of $15,000 or so.
Who would pay that?
Title I, C3.
Mrs. Detlef?
Yes.
If the council decides to change it from what it is to the commission or whatever, does the government, the president, have to sign off on that?
If we do it for this coming year, I believe they would.
Creating the commission?
Yes.
Yes. They would have to, this year or any year, creation of a recreation commission has to be approved by the state.
Would it be a problem?
For them to approve it?
Yes.
I can't say. I mean, I haven't looked at the application process to form a commission in a number of years, so I really don't recall the requirements. I don't believe it's a difficult process. I just don't recall.
The biggest thing would be how soon to get off of their desks.
Because I'm unfamiliar with some of the things. Like, who appoints the commission members, and then, like, who oversees the finances of the commission and produces, like, reports and numbers? Like, as you would say, who is minding the store when it's a commission?
CFO.
CFO and the finance office.
And the appointments are by the mayor, right?
Right.
Was it by mayor?
Mayor and council.
That's a good point. We have a CFO. Last time it was a commission. So now...
Well, I've worked in municipalities where the borough or municipality CFO oversaw the finances for the commission. And I've worked in municipalities where the commission hired a certified municipal finance officer to work directly for them. So there's a trade-off. But either way, it gets filtered through the borough's finance system. So all the checks and balances associated with expenditures are done in accordance with borough policy.
Okay. So, Mayor, you're the liaison, aren't you?
Yes.
My suggestion would be that you meet with the committee, have a discussion with the entire committee, and find out what has to be done, and if bring it back for a vote.
I don't think that the committee really knows what has to be done as well as...
To form the commission? Is that what
you're... Yeah, as the manager and the attorney would.
To form the commission is nothing more...
And I think the committee already wants to go back to a commission in general.
Sorry to interrupt you. To form a committee is nothing more than creating an ordinance that gets approved by the state. Simple.
Very simple. You actually have a form of ordinance.
I mean, it's nothing more than introducing and adopting an ordinance. It does not go into effect until the Director of Local Government Services signs off on it. And then to have, I guess for lack of another phrase, the Recreation Commission trust accounts created, it just takes CFO time to create that. Because now, as a semi-autonomous board, they have authority to have their own expenses. They have to approve their own bills and bill lists at their respective meetings. But everything filters through the borough's finance system for purchasing oversight.
And there would be no, we would just designate a certain amount of money that would go to recreation?
Well, as
there
a
wouldn't be like a budget worksheet like we had last year.
Only if they're asking for financial assistance from the borough. Mm-hmm. They're, for lack of a phrase, they're a fee-based department.
Right, right.
They work like a trust, you know, in the sense that if they have $5,000 in trust and they need $10,000 to run an event, they have to find a way to increase their revenues. They're autonomous. They would not be funded with tax dollars.
In the communities that you've worked in, which seems to be more successful, commissions or committees?
Committees are really not independent. You have a committee.
Right.
And so it really has no independent authority. A commission has independent authority. It's a selective planning board or the board of adjustment. It's the same quality as that. They run within their budget and within the statutory authorizations. They run the organization. They take care of recreation for the borough.
The biggest advantage, and I've said this before, is for a recreation commission, you can spend the money in a different manner, more beneficial to the community. Right now, I can't use trust money
to, say, pay for a rec director. You can use trust money. The rec director would be hired by the borough, you know, and they would be hired by the borough under civil service requirements. They'd be appointed the rec director.
And then they would be in charge of the commission?
No, the recreation commission is in charge of itself.
So.
The recreation director.
So we need a recreation director?
You don't need one, no. I'm just using that as an example, just the liaison.
Well, I'm thinking you wouldn't have that power then.
No, correct. And again, I'm just using that as an example. The only people that a recreation commission, I mean, has the authority to hire are people within their purview. They can't hire a department head.
But if it's a commission, we would not have to hire a director.
Not if the people on the commission can meet the requirements of.
Running.
Running, yes, that's correct.
The commission, just to follow up on what Janita's raising, the commission is sort of similar to this governing body in terms of their domain. Their primary function is policy, although historically I think the commission has undertaken a lot of voluntary efforts to do administrative work. So the recreation director, if that position was created, would be the administrative person, the equivalent to the manager in this form of government. So one's really policy, the other is really executive or administrative. That's the theory.
Okay.
My suggestion is, because we're always asking for more information, Mr. Feldman made some very good points tonight on one side. But before we make a decision or before we even consider this more, I think what we should do is look at the books of the Rec Commission over the last 6 years when they were in effect. Look at those books to see exactly how they were, how productive they were, how the books were kept, and how costs were, and whether Mr. Feldman's claims are exactly correct. I think we need to examine that as well as when we're making that decision between a commission and a committee.
I think we find the same thing there as we found with our own books, is that they are, you know, not very complete and not as
well. He's
not
claiming
as
that
as they should be.
He's claiming that they made a profit. So I think we need to look at the books to be sure, and I think that's only fair to everyone.
Well, yeah. My point just is that we found things in the corner of, I'm sure some of them were recreation related, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't know how complete the record will be because of some of the poor care of our documents has been over the course.
Well,
Terry,
the
other thing is, and again, just to give you my thoughts as a professional, I'm not telling you how to do things, but it really is a question of going forward. In other words, how well organized is this particular new group coming in compared to how it was managed in the past, you know, which is, okay, can you set up controls that exist when you have a very active manager and you could build perhaps into the ordinance some kind of requirement that the manager have a role from a financial oversight standpoint, you know, perhaps coordinating with the CFO or something like that. You could address those issues going forward.
Would a commission be required to follow the public purchasing law?
They must follow all
and
rules
our purchasing
that
policy.
This governing body follows. Purchasing, personnel, OPRA, copies of meetings, public minutes, all that kind of
they
stuff.
They would be required for sunshine law?
Absolutely. Just like the planning board, just like the Board of Adjustment.
Well, Mr. Phelan and I have had a conversation previous about a commission and some ways that it could be set up that would be a little bit different than the way it was set up before. So, Rich, why don't you, you know, get some of that documentation together for all of council for their purview?
Now, in all likelihood, this would not take place until before we even voted on this. That would have to go to the DCA.
You could adopt subject to.
Yes, you ensure and adopt and subject to.
So at this late date, that couldn't happen until the new year.
Correct.
Unlikely it would before the beginning of the year because you can't
ordinance time.
You can't introduce an ordinance in 1 year and then pass it in the next year.
For sure.
Plus you have that 20-day period in terms of effectiveness.
Yeah, we wouldn't make it.
I would just like to see that as well. The committee.
Yeah, whatever we get would be shared with the committee also.
Better than you.
But it could be entirely different people that are on the commission at this point, right?
It's starting from scratch.
Would we start from scratch?
That's correct.
It would be, it's appointed by the, well, the way your old ordinance was set up, it's appointed by the mayor with the advice and consent of the governing body, so it's a collaborative decision.
Could be all new appointments, or whatever.
Correct.
Well, old appointments, old committee appointments would not carry over, it would have to be...
No, no, brand new group, brand new agent, right.
And the terms would be staggered, so that would be appointed.
That's right, Mayor.
In essence, you would be starting from the ground up.
Right.
With the new, or new, for lack of another phrase, the new board.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, you know.
So where are we on the full discussion?
Yeah.
Well, I think we have the commission thing in hand for the time being. If council is leaning one way, that might answer the pool issue. I'm sorry.
I have to leave, so my two cents about the pool. You know, we got a letter back from Green Acres. They basically said they would allow us to close the pool for 1 year, and 1 year only. But that doesn't mean that we couldn't apply for, you know, a waiver to say keep it closed forever. My personal opinion is if we close the pool for just 1 year, you might as well, it's going to be, we're going to spend so much money getting it open again and trying to build the goodwill back and trying to market the pool now being open in 2012 that it would be foolish for the amount of money that we, you know, and again, I go back to the earlier statements that the pool may never be 100% profitable. We could definitely eliminate a lot of the losses that the pool generates. I mean, a lot of it, you know, arguments aside, I think the pool
could
be viable.
There could be more efficiencies.
There could be a lot of efficiencies. The pool could be viable. I mean, I'm dedicated to the pool. I mean, I've been there so many times, and I've worked painting and doing all the other stuff, so maybe I'm biased that way, but I do think it adds a lot to the community. And if it was losing $100,000 a year, then that would be a different discussion. But I think we can whittle it down so that it's a manageable number and do a bunch of other things, hopefully, that could offset that even more.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments as far as the poll goes for council? I'm sorry?
I concur with what you said.
Mr. Higgins?
I agree.
Mr. Boyle?
No comment.
Okay. Mr. Valentine?
I agree.
Mr.
I agree with Mr. Valentine.
Mr. Okay. I think that gives you your answer.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to vouchers.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Make a motion to pay the bills.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the bills?
Oh, wait a second here, yep. I have a question. Was there a second?
Yes.
Page 4.
Page 4 of the bills.
City Connections. That's the website hosting and maintenance. Is that an annual fee?
Page 4 website.
City Connections.
City Connections. And
yes.
Do we sign a contract with them?
Yeah, DG.
That's not a bid type thing? That's
no.
Under
computer. It falls under one of the exceptions in some contracts.
So, how do we know we can't get this cheaper?
We talked about this at the webinar. I mean, he's not just hosting the website.
I understand that. But, I mean, we went to a shared services. You remember that?
A long time ago. But I think they answered that was not what we were looking at.
Yeah, it was.
No. There was a different thing. They answered. They gave them the information. They answered that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, that's it.
Okay. Anybody else have questions on the vouchers? Roll call, please.
Yes, but for anything, I abstain on anything dealing with the department.
Valentine?
Yes.
Weaver?
Abstain.
Howell?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep. Okay. Recap, Mr. Powell? Right.
I will excuse Councilman Green's request, see if I can approximate number. I want the change, or rather revised number for the reserve for uncollected taxes and amount of the rate by taxation would be should we pursue the option of separate billing for garbage collection.
It's described in my memo.
follow up on whether or not it's permissible for a donation made to the borough to be a tax write-off for someone.
And this is donations that aren't just someone, like, in their will donating money?
Non-bequests, right. Just regular donations.
Well, respectfully, I forgot the young lady's name, but Beth, she made a good point. Mm-hmm. She said that's a federal issue, not a state issue, because the issue is it deductible on your federal tax return? So,
well, no, I thought initially, like, when we first started talking about donations, like, a year ago, initially we were kind of told the only type of donation we could receive is if it was bequest to a certain, if they specifically did to the pool.
Now, if somebody wants to come up tonight and give you $100,
you can take it.
As long as it's in check, above board.
In check, not in cash.
Yeah, right.
And I'll,
if somebody wants to make a contribution, it's not uncommon. It doesn't have to, you don't have to die to do it.
Right, but we can, I guess the question is, can we solicit donations?
Yeah, sure.
That's my question.
Could
we approach the hardware store to donate supplies?
Yeah. I don't think there's any problems with that. If you came to a bidder or something like that, I think I'd be a little troubled by that. But, you know, I guess it's the question of appearance. If you did it across the board, if you had a program that said, look, we are trying to raise money for our park operations from our citizens
project,
and you had it on the website, and then you, you know, whether you want the manager or some borough official going around doing that, especially one that has administrative responsibilities over a particular business, I think that's a little troublesome.
Right, but we should do something like that. You know, like, you know, you see, like, the, what do you call it?
Thermometers or whatever.
We should do something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You can definitely do that.
I think one of the differences is if a, let's say, an oil company for the new DPW garage, said, listen, if you agree to give us a 2-year contract and we'll provide all the lubricants, we'll put in a lube system for you, you know, hoses, hook it up to the compressor and all, on each bay we'll have a drop. I think that would be a problem.
Yeah, unless it was all inclusive in the contract.
That's a different issue.
But that's how the high school got their school board.
We're not the high school.
High school difference.
Well, there's actually a separate set of purchasing lists for schools. I don't know what they are. I don't follow.
Coca-Cola donated the electronic scoreboard, and they can only sell Cokes in the school.
Well, it sounds like they went out to bid for that. It sounds like they went out to bid for a concession. The local school contracts are different than what we have to follow.
Okay. What else do you have on your recap list?
And I will look forward, look for more information, if you will, on the logistics of the reformation of the Recreation Commission.
Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Valentine. Mr. Housel. Mr. Boyle.
Well, thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Higgins.
I have one question. Since the audit question passed, are we going to go out for proposals for our auditors?
The answer is yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it passed.
Is there a time frame that has to be done with, as long as it's done within the year?
The ordinance, the question was on the ballot, could be subject to a lot of different interpretations, but to me, the logical thing to do is you'd start it in 2011.
Right.
You know, it's one of the years, and that's what the voters called for, and that's the process.
And when do we start our budget process? In January?
No, now. We're actually entering the department's requested budgets now, and I'm waiting for some additional preliminary numbers from the state. My goal is, before the end of the year, to give everyone a rough concept of what it's like. I said, we're looking at $650,000 over cap, excluding the cost for the front of audit.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, well, I mean, are we going to use the same proposals for the audit?
I would recommend against that.
Use the same bid document.
What I would recommend is because of the uniqueness of the situation, what I would recommend is, you know, aside from all the legalese, if you will, associated with soliciting proposals, my recommendation is to have this body with members of that group come up with, you know, what the definition of what they're looking for is, so we could specifically go out for it. My recommendation, but ultimately that's council's decision. Or you can use the specs from the last one if you deem that sufficient. I mean, that's your call.
That's reasonable. Nothing, I mean, what else has changed other than we got to do it now?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think, I think what the manager's saying is the term forensic audit is not a statutorily defined term.
Sure.
And so you may want to give some thought to the depth and quality of the audit, because obviously the more you request, the more it's going to cost. And again, look, the voters said have it, but that may be something you want to have some public discussion about.
What's the definition?
Yeah. And then, you know, it seems to me it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg, because if you really have a broad audit, it's going to cost you a lot more. On the other hand, maybe you can achieve some of your goals with a more narrow forensic audit. So maybe what you need to do is bring in a couple of the forensic auditors and chat with them about what they would recommend in terms of the breadth. Now, they may say, you know, go overboard, but if you talk to a couple of different ones in sort of a competitive situation, you might be able to get a better sense of how broad you want to go with respect to the audit. Again, that's, you know, the voters have spoken in terms of this. So you folks need now to think through what the actual activities that you want the auditors. I think the best way to do it is to get the auditors to come in.
Can you get them in like the process we did, or just a courtesy call?
You need the information prior to soliciting proposals.
So we would have to get them to come in on a courtesy call?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? I mean, you know, you talk to, like, you buy a fire truck, everybody talks to the fire truck manufacturers, you know?
I saw an advertisement for one, so I'll give you that name, too, critical.
Well, I've already received a letter and a brochure from an auditing firm saying they're interested in bidding on it. Please
would they be down at the league this week, you think?
I don't know if those in particular are, but I do know there will be auditors down there. At least there always have been, so I'd be happy to solicit some business cards and comments from them. Let them see what's going on.
They'll be counting the shrimp that you eat, Scott.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be any of that unless you're serving some.
There was.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yes, there was one other thing. You can go to Janine.
Okay, Janine?
Two quick things. Thinking of budget stuff. What is the status on the cable renewal contract? Like, what?
I spoke with Comcast a couple of weeks ago. It's been sent in BPU's desk for months and months now. Nothing happens until they sign off on it. We've received no update. They've received no update.
Okay. And wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Thank you.
When are we getting the $400,000? I didn't notice that on the...
We just sent them the form after the last meeting. Before the end of the year, we're going to get it. Believe me, I've been waiting 2 weeks for an answer to a simple question.
Have we received an update from Washington Township on what next year's police contract is going to cost us?
No. That's one of the numbers I'm...
Can we get that before the end of the year? So, like, Terry...
I mean, an unofficial conversation I had with my counterpart over there is to keep everything flat.
With the exception
that's
of
what
payroll.
They are. No. What he had told me is, say pay is going up 3, they're reducing operating by 3 to maintain a flat cost. That's their goal. I don't know if it's going to happen. That's what he told me. But he's on my. I have about 10 or 12 things that I'm waiting for approximate numbers on. That's one.
And one other thing, the road department's garage. Are we going to get a TCO on that anytime soon?
I saw something about that in the email today. Well, we were just waiting on the...
You did?
No,
the other day. We were waiting for the fire suppression unit to be hooked up to the phone line for the TCO.
No, correct. It has to be programmed to go to a third-party vendor to contact county dispatch. And then the oil-water separator was delivered, and I'm waiting on it, which has nothing to do with the TCO, but I'm waiting on a price for the install.
Okay, I think I'm done.
Scott, look, you have one more thing.
I know how we represented this past or voted on for the audit. Is there any way that that could be adjusted for the years instead of 2011 or some other years?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the question was starting in 2011, the 5 previous years.
Yeah,
that's what passed.
Can that
that's
be amended?
No, I mean, without going out for a referendum, that pretty well sets the direction that we have to follow.
So if we wanted to do something from 2006 and back, we can't do it.
Well, at least not through the referendum.
Not through the referendum.
Okay, then that takes care of it. I would just like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving also. And then we'll be back into executive session, so if we can have that motion.
Can I just have a 5-minute break?
After a 5-minute break, sure.
Somewhere.